Chapter 2. Uncertainty gnawed at Charlie's mind. When she'd first seen them, she thought the gilded doors to the meeting room were doors to a massive elevator. They'd looked a bit ridiculous to her, what with the odd almond patterns running along the seams. Now, though, the gilded doors intimidated her. Not because of what they were, but because of what they hid. Adam. The first man, the leader of Heaven's army. And perhaps the most obnoxious person to have ever lived. She'd been confused at his appearance at first. With his horns and golden fangs, he had looked more like a sinner than an angel. Combined with his incessant, childish mockery, and she was almost afraid this was all some sort of elaborate setup. The reveal that he was the Adam was perhaps less of a surprise than it should have been. Though, after how our last meeting ended... Her thoughts turned once more to the image of Adam, incandescent with rage as he menaced her from above. I have to wonder. It was more the suddenness and uncertainty of it all that had scared her. She hadn't known what to do, how to de-escalate the situation, if it could even be de-escalated. It was hard to not be afraid that he would hurt her, even just a little. But he was a hologram, she told herself. There was no real danger. And then he'd grabbed her. She should have realized earlier when his finger had just barely brushed the tip of her nose. Somehow, some way, Adam could make himself corporeal. And holy shit, she just realized that asshole intentionally kept himself intangible for the handshake. What a fucking dick. But she hadn't. And that changed things. At least, it should have. Looking back on it, perhaps she should have been more upset than she had been, more upset than she was. It wasn't okay to grab people and toss them around. He could have just asked her to leave instead of getting physical. But she was the one arguing on behalf of sinners, monstrous people who had committed every vile act conceivable, and more besides. She still believed that there was good in them, somewhere. That they could change, be better people, if they just tried. It seemed a bit hypocritical not to turn that on Adam just because he was, well, Adam. It wasn't like he was the only genocidal misogynist in existence, and she was all too familiar with where most of those went. Though, the fact there was one in Heaven, she didn't want to think about it. Charlie took a deep breath, exhaling slowly. Okay, you can do this. You spent all year preparing. Alone. Her eye twitches, her grin turning manic. Because Dad isn't talking to you right now, and Mom won't give a straight answer to save her life. She trailed off, stopping that train of thought before her tone could grow more bitter. Nope, not thinking about that today. Today, we think about... Her eyes drift back down to the papers in her hands. On top was a title card, proudly displaying the name of her plan. Charlie's Super Fun Plan to Save Hell and Make Friends with Heaven. Was the glitter too much? No, she told herself. Sincerity is key. She ran through a quick theater shakedown. First her right hand, then her left, then her right foot, and so on, ending it with a full-body shiver. After that, she put on her big girl face that showed she totally meant business this time, as long as it wasn't too inconvenient. She took another deep breath and slid open the door. It was the same room, the same blue and gold color scheme lit by the same omnipresent lighting that hurt her eyes just a little, no matter where she looked. And there, at the end of the table, was the same Adam, lounging in his seat and gorging himself on ribs.
Mom said it herself. He's not going to hurt you, she assured herself. He was bluffing.
He was in the middle of downing a beer, the glass bottle straight vertical when she spoke.
Hi there, Adam. It's me again.
She gave him a little wave. He sputtered in an overdramatic fashion she was beginning to learn was typical of him. Spraying half a bottle's worth of beer to his left. Charlie heard what sounded like a faint shriek of,
Seriously?
despite the room being empty, and then he was pointing a finger at her accusingly.
What the fuck are you doing here?
Breaking inter-eternal law and possibly permanently estranging myself from my father, she quipped internally.
I think that's obvious. I'm here representing hell. Again! Yay!
She answered, giving him a smile not even she believed, and admittedly limp jazz hands. Adam smacked his lips, sucking his teeth for a minute before letting out a massive belch.
Oh, whatever. What do you want this time?
Charlie perked up at the lack of overt mockery. Perhaps he was in a better mood this time?
Well, I'm glad you asked. You see, ever since I was a child...
Boring!
Adam moaned, throwing his head back and sagging in his chair.
Is all you can talk about yourself? Don't be so self-centered!
Charlie heard the words. She knew they existed in the English language. She could even understand the order as grammatically valid. But within the context of the situation, she just couldn't parse the information. She was so shocked, so confounded, so utterly blown away by this move that not simply just words or language, but thought and emotion themselves seemed to fail her.
Okay. What do you want to talk about, then?
She asked, realizing her folly the moment the words had left her mouth.
Oh, I'm so glad you asked!
He gushed, batting his eyes as he leapt from his chair. He crossed the room faster than a blink, dragging a chair with him and depositing it beside her. He spun it around, then plopped down in it and leaned forward eagerly.
I enjoyed our conversation last time so much, and I have so much more to tell you.
She tried very, very hard not to openly gape. Was he being for real right now?
Wow, really? I'm so, glad that you...
Okay, so last week, or was it last month?
Charlie found the look on his face strangely adorable as he searched his memories. He'd quirked his head up, one eye closed and tongue peeking from the corner of his mouth.
Yeah, last month. So last month I was playing this gig, and this virtue chick was digging the drummer.
I think you already told me,
Charlie interrupted, fighting desperately to keep them on track.
Wow, bitch, are you ever gonna let me talk?
He put his hands on his hips.
Didn't those turd parents of yours teach you not to interrupt people? Also, different virtue chick, different drummer. Anyway, this virtue chick was digging the drummer for some fucking reason, and it's like, do you know who I am? I'm Adam!
She screamed, very nearly ready to pull out her hair. He beamed at her, looking truly excited when she said his name.
Exactly! I'm Adam, the first fucking man! You think you want drummer dick?
No! Adam, I know the story about the fucking...
She froze, a wild look in her eyes. How long had it taken him? Less than 5 minutes? And here she was, gearing up to launch into a rant. How did he do it? Was she still so shaken by their last meeting? Was it just the nerves, the pressure she was under to make it work this time? Her last chance? Or had he just found a fucking manual on how to irritate her? She affixed that desperate gaze onto Adam, who wore a shit-eating grin. Her finger lashed out, poking him in the chest.
Oh my god, you're just fucking with me, aren't you?
What? Huh? No, really? You think so?
He took a pose so stereotypically introspective, it could be nothing but mockery. He folded one arm beneath the other, supporting it by the elbow as he tapped a finger against his chin. Pursing his lips and raising a brow, he looked up to the heavens for answers. His wings whooshed as they spread wide, a single, audible flap launching him into the air and sending a gust of wind washing over her. In a phenomenal display of aerobatic skill, he backflipped as he rose, both hands outstretched at her with middle fingers raised. Then, just as he straightened, his massive guitar axe swirled into existence in his hands. Large fingers moved so rapidly they blurred as he ripped through a guitar solo.
Oh yeah, baby! About time you figured it out.
Could you cut it out for like 5 minutes?
She screamed, her voice all but drowned out by the, admittedly skilled, shredding the first man was engaged in.
I'm trying to have a serious conversation with you here.
His guitar solo stopped, replaced by soft acoustic strumming as he leaned back and leisurely floated through the air. With a gentle beating of his golden wings and the melodic music he produced, she could almost picture him the angel he really was.
No. He blew a raspberry, and his guitar returned to its frenetic growling. Ah!
She groaned, hands clutching her temples as she stomped away. Why did this have to be so fucking stressful? It felt like everything was going wrong. The guilt of having betrayed her father's trust like this for a second time was eating her alive. The shitty, too bright lighting was giving her a headache, and damn it, she knew her horns were out, but she just couldn't seem to bring herself to care right now.
What the fuck is your problem? Is this about my parents? Do you just hate your own children that much?
Oh, you aren't getting me with that this time, sweet cheeks.
He was horizontal in the air, his head upside down as he leaned back to take a look at her. He smiled like the cat that ate the canary, eyebrows wagging as he continued playing, completely unbothered by his position. She gave the ground a decidedly guilty look. Even as obnoxious as the man was, that didn't justify violating such a clear emotional boundary just to...
And by the way, might I say that you are looking positively sinful today?
He leered at her, licking his lips.
Ew! You fucking psycho!
She screamed, all sympathy and guilt purged by outrage.
I can't fucking believe you! Would it kill you to treat a single woman with respect for once in your life?
His eyes were roaming her body, clearly undressing her. She quailed beneath them. Now she found it in herself to care about the horns. She felt naked, wanted desperately to look away, to cover herself and hide from that burning stare. But she wouldn't give him the satisfaction of failing to meet his eyes. Adam twisted around until he was on his stomach, floating down until he was nearly eye level with her. He reached out at her, a single finger lifting her chin.
Aw, is the little Nepo baby princess not getting her way? Is she throwing a tantrum?
Charlie jerked away, her cheeks suddenly hot.
I'm not a...
A spoiled brat? A privileged rich girl? A sterling silver spoon?
His eyes narrowed.
A liar?
The first man folded his arms beneath his chest as he slowly kicked his feet behind him.
Just go ahead and call Daddy, you stuck-up bitch. Or are you too good for him, too? Oh, wait, let me guess. Next you're going to try to convince me that you just feel so guilty about how terrible he is and how you want to clean up his fuck-ups because you're such a bleeding fucking heart.
He ranted, rolling his eyes.
I'll admit it, you got me last time. Good for you! But not today, Satan. So you can cut it out with all this fake saccharine bullshit.
He punctuated his point with a wiggle of his fingers before flying back to his chair. He casually drifted down in a reclined position, arms folded behind his head. He nestled snugly into the chair, legs propped up, then he snatched up a rib and scarfed it down.
Maybe you can fool those dumb fucks in hell.
He pointed at her with the half-eaten rib.
But you ain't fooling me. You're a snake, and you'll always be a snake, just like that cunt daddy of yours.
She had known, of course, that Adam hated her father. That he, quite obviously, wouldn't trust him for the world. It wasn't the first time meeting someone who held it against her, either. Most sinners had at least some understanding of the devil, even if they didn't know him by that name. It was easier for other dualistic beliefs, but if you hadn't heard of him, someone would tell you. Interacting with sinners could be... It was just... hard. having people judge her so harshly before they'd ever met her. Charlie glared at him defiantly, chest heaving as she pressed down on her anger. So it had been her parents. This entire time, he'd been screwing her around just because he didn't get the girl.
"You think I'm lying?"
Adam clapped, holding the rib in his mouth. Barbecue sauce went flying, but he didn't seem to mind.
"Oh, bravo, bravo! What a brilliant fucking deduction! You should really be a detective the way you figured out the baffling enigma I gave you."
He tossed the bone aside and grabbed another.
"Oh, these are so good."
Charlie collapsed into her seat. It was stupid. She could see the answer before she even asked the question, like an echo from the future in her mind's eye. His answer would be so utterly in character, so completely predictable, that she had to be crazy to ask. But she had to ask.
Is there anything I could do to get you to listen to me? Anything at all?"
She fixed desperate eyes on him, silently begging him to listen. He tapped his chin, lips quirking up as he scrunched his face in a mockery of consideration.
No.
She slumped down in her chair, defeated. Her dad was right. Heaven really didn't listen. Her father might have been the sin of pride, but the sheer arrogance of thinking she could change things in the span of two meetings when her father couldn't in thousands of years? Why, she thought that he would ever listen to her.
"Well, I guess there's one thing."
Charlie shot ramrod straight. He was going to mock her again, she knew. He was never serious. But if there was a chance, any chance...
"You could just go ahead and get it over with. Hit me with whatever stupid fucking shit you're up to, instead of trying to fucking butter me up like the world's grossest piece of toast."
He reached for another rib.
"But we both know that's never gonna... I want to stop the exterminations,"
she blurted. Adam froze and slowly, very slowly, put the rib back on the plate. He gestured as if in welcome before steepling his fingers.
"Oh, by all means, sell this angle. Please, I want to see it. Really, I do. Make me believe that you, Lilith's daughter, want to stop the exterminations."
Everything about her was tense. She'd wanted to build up to this moment. Maybe it was a desire for showmanship inherited from her father, or a need to control the conversation inherited from her mother. Or maybe just the monumental fear and anxiety, all her own, bubbling up from deep within because no one ever took her seriously about this, and this was her last chance. Her dad would definitely, definitely figure out what she'd done this time, and set it all straight. Even if he did hate calling heaven for anything. Not to mention, he was probably going to ground her for the next few centuries. Adult she might be, but that wouldn't stop him. It never had. Trying to think about it logically, she could see how maybe trying to dance around the issue could seem a bit dishonest to Adam, considering his history with her parents. If what he wanted was for her to be upfront, she could do that.
"I've watched you, you know. Every year since I was a kid."
She brushed a stray lock of hair behind her ear.
"It's my job to send out the all-clear signal after every extermination. It's one of my few responsibilities as princess. And every year I have to watch as you slaughter my people, and it just..."
She thought back to the long nights, filled with screams and the smell of blood and ash. The bodies torn to shreds littering the streets the next day. The glint of angelic silver peeking through the chest cavities and stomachs of those left impaled. The faces, some without a head, skinned off like cheap party masks and left in the street as if they would blow away with the trash. Across 1,000 languages, there were no words to describe the horror, none capable of conveying the despair and pain of her people. She could quote epics on the subject, cite award-winning academic papers, repeat poetic eulogies whispered over shallow graves. None could do the tragedy justice.
"It breaks my heart,"
Charlie admitted,
and lost the war with her tears. She was crying again, she knew. She looked up at the first man.
This annual genocide, it causes immeasurable suffering. Tens of millions, every year, tens of millions are erased forever. And that number will only keep increasing along with the population of Earth. The fear it inspires, the desperation knowing that this could be it, deprives them of any hope, any motivation to change. They're forced to sell their souls to overlords just for a chance of survival. This can't continue.
Adam snorted, rolling his eyes.
What? Are you implying that they don't deserve it? I already told you to cut the crap.
The princess flared, hand curling into a fist as she took a defiant step forwards.
And I told you, I want to put an end to this pointless slaughter. I'm not implying anything. No one deserves to be erased. I know they've done terrible things. I see it every day. But that doesn't make it okay to kill them. No act, no matter how depraved, no matter how much suffering it causes, can justify infinite punishment. Everyone can change if they just try.
The idea that Adam might laugh at her had entered her mind. She'd been laughed at before. A lot, really. But as he descended into a fit of wild cackling, somehow it still hurt. Worse, despite herself, her face and ears burned red in embarrassment.
Oh, that's fucking rich!
Adam brought a finger up to his eyes, dismissively flicking away a tear as his mocking laughter died down.
As if Lilith's own child would ever care so much about mortal souls that, I mean, the absolute audacity those two fuckers had to send you up here with that bullshit.
He reached for another rib.
Ah, but please, by all means, continue. Set me straight. I want to see how you do it.
Charlie growled.
I'm not lying.
She took a deep breath, knowing that leaving her horns out wouldn't help her case on this. He might be mocking her, but if he was going to give her any chance to make her case, she was going to take it. At this point, it was a matter of pride.
Look, I understand, logically, the problem the exterminations are meant to solve. I just...
She paused.
Why exterminations and not something else? There has to be another way, right?
Adam chugged a beer, giving her a thumbs up. There was a pop as the bottle came free, a smacking of lips and a refreshed sigh of contentment.
Doing great so far, babe.
She gave him an uncertain look.
I had this idea. I think it's the most promising option, really. As I understand it, winners aren't magically confined to the ring or sphere of humility like sinners are to pride. If we work together, I'm sure we could break the magic binding them, and the even distribution of the population would...
Hold on!
Adam interrupted her.
The fuck? I thought you wanted the exterminations to stop, not give us free rein on the Hellborn.
Charlie paled.
No, absolutely not. Why would you even...
She tensed, hugging herself as she stared off.
I do want the exterminations to end, but I also understand that overpopulation is a serious problem in Hell, and it needs to be solved. I was thinking that the extra room the other rings would provide for sinners would solve that problem just as easily as decreasing the population.
Is there some kind of translation issue I'm having? Are you speaking some weird, fucked-up hell language that only mostly sounds like English?
He quirked his head and made a so-so motion with his hand.
Or do you honestly expect me to believe your parents not only didn't tell you who I am before sending you in here, but also lied to you about the primary reason for the exterminations?
They didn't lie to me about anything,
Charlie insisted immediately. An old accusation, easily dismissed.
They would never lie to me.
Adam rolled his eyes, mocking her with a yapping motion and a muttered, whiny repeat of her words under his breath.
Oh, please. You're telling me the king and queen of lies have always been 100% truthful with you?
You don't...
She began, about to repeat the ready response she'd developed over the years when someone cast doubt on her parents over fairy tales and ghost stories.
You don't know them like I do.
A simple statement of fact, not as convincing to others as it perhaps should have been, but it conveyed her unwavering faith in them, brokering no debate on the subject. But unfortunately for her, she was currently speaking to one of the few that could make the claim that he did, in fact, know them like she did. Possibly even better than her. And she hated that. Instead, Charlie settled for an indignant huff.
Stop projecting your own issues with my parents onto me. We have a great relationship, and they never lie to me.
Adam was clearly unconvinced. She could see it in his eyes.
You do realize that over the last 200 years, Lucifer has spent 13 of these meetings actually crying over how much he misses you, right?
He really misses me?
The question betrayed her before she could stop it, and her face flushed with heat.
I mean, of course he does. Did. It's not like we haven't had our rough patches, but that's all behind us now.
She lied through her teeth. Adam's expression remained knowingly blank.
All right. Well, since your parents never hide anything or lie to you, it's gotta be pretty obvious to you why breaking the magic binding the sinners to pride wouldn't solve the issue, right?
He taunted her. Unwilling to give him the satisfaction, Charlie nodded.
Right.
So you're just a fucking idiot. Got it.
He nodded solemnly, as if her stupidity were self-evident. She couldn't help the sneer forming on her lips, but before she could reply, Adam was speaking again, shrugging and shaking his head.
Oh no, don't look all offended. I dig dumb bimbos with daddy issues. It could still work out between us.
He winked at her. She turned up her nose.
Well, I'm not a fan of violent men who pine after their ex-wives, so I don't think it would.
It felt damn good to say, but she still paled the moment she said the words.
You still need something from him, idiot,
she admonished, hoping she hadn't just condemned her people to oblivion.
Ouch, sweetheart. Low blow. That one hurt.
To her astonishment, Adam actually grinned.
So, aside from exterminations, how do you propose we prevent Mommy and Daddy from amassing enough of an army to threaten heaven again?
At first, she said nothing. She couldn't understand the question. The exterminations controlled an overpopulation problem. It was a frankly insane solution, but she could understand the logic. She could also understand how to argue against it. She'd spent her life doing so. Engaging with the question required an alignment shift for Charlie. To understand it, a complete reassessment of her worldview. To answer it, she needed new answers to dozens of if-so-thens, what-abouts, and then-sos. But most importantly, to do any of that properly, she first had to consider the idea that her parents, whom she trusted implicitly, had betrayed that trust and lied to her about something so fundamentally important to her as this. Perhaps when she was a child, and they simply needed an answer for a complicated question she couldn't hope to properly understand, perhaps. But to let her continue believing it? For 200 years? As she made it her life's goal? No, they wouldn't do that to her.
They would never do that,
she insisted, both to him and to herself. Adam sucked a breath through his teeth.
Oh, bitch, you were so close!
He pinched his fingers less than an inch apart, his patronizingly faux-apologetic tone embellished by a smarmy grin.
But no cigar. If I didn't believe that your parents wouldn't send you here without telling you what the exterminations were all about, then why, pray tell, the fuck would I believe that they never told you about their little rebellion?
Charlie's hands balled into fists, and her eyes flared red.
They would have told me.
Your parents literally invented lies and treachery.
He chugged the rest of his beer, eyeing the bottom when it emptied.
Trust me, I was there when it happened.
So what? I'm supposed to believe you over my own mom and dad?
She demanded.
Because why? Dad's the devil and mom's the first sinner?
Basically, yeah.
Adam answered casually, flipping the bottle into the air. As it spun, he aimed at it with a finger gun, loosing a ray of holy light that shattered it into pieces.
Aw, shit, that was nice. Hey, Veggie, pull!
Charlie wasn't prepared for this. Why would he tell her something like that? Was it just another mind game? Another way of humiliating her? That didn't seem his style, though. For someone that was constantly playing tricks on her, he seemed strangely upfront. And her parents had only told him he was controlling, not deceptive. But it wasn't like they were regaling her with tales about her mom's evil ex at bedtime. That was why they wrote the story of hell, so they could avoid questions without leaving her ignorant of the things she needed to know. He had to be lying, though. She just couldn't figure out why yet. Is this all just some kind of mega mind game? But what would be the point of... The bright flash of holy light and the sound of shattering glass interrupted her thoughts. And of course, one shard hit Charlie in the eye.
Holy shit!
She roared. Thankfully, as powerful as she was, it simply bounced off harmlessly. It didn't prevent it from stinging like a bitch, leaving her clutching at it with real fear that she might have just lost an eye running through her. Yet, the fact she was unharmed did nothing to calm Charlie's unyielding rage at having glass thrown in her eye. It wasn't just the horns this time, but actual fire and brimstone that began swirling around here.
What the fuck, you piece of shit? I could have lost an eye! And who the fuck are you talking to anyway?
Oh, now there's the face I was missing, Adam grinned. God damn, but you look good when you're angry. Right, Veggie?
This time, an exorcist shimmered into existence to Adam's left. She was clearly unenthusiastic about the whole thing, her surprisingly expressive mask clearly giving a blank look.
I wouldn't know, sir. I'm not into filthy hellspawn scum.
Adam rolled his eyes.
Princess, meet Veggie. She also answers to stuck-up prude and get the fuck off my back, bitch. Oh, and lady killer, on account of having a thing for cutesy in the streets, freaky in the sheets types like you.
How the exorcist could blush through her mask, Charlie didn't know, but she managed.
Please, sir, I told you that in confidence.
Oh yeah, that's right. I remember. We were watching Lesbian Nympho Wars 3, Return of the Sapphic Sluts.
Sir, that's enough,
Veggie demanded. And just like that, she was diffused. So effortlessly. How did he do that? How could he throw a fucking glass in her eye, then have her grumbling and... Oh, now that was a dangerous thought. She cleared her throat, eye twitching as she very pointedly ignored that realization.
It's, nice to meet you, Veggie?
Charlie ventured, wincing a little at the name. The exorcist, for her part, sent the princess a withering glare.
The Taxiarch, ancient as he is, may be bored enough to amuse himself with your petty games, but I'm not. Don't talk to me.
Charlie drew a long, deep breath and rocked back on her heels.
Well, not sure what I expected, but okay.
She rubbed her temples, feeling her headache progress into a migraine.
Why is every minute I'm around this man an emotional roller coaster?
She decided to return to the topic at hand.
Look, Adam, I get that you're still upset with my parents about... what happened, but that doesn't give you the right to try to drive a wedge between us like this.
She told him, nodding to herself in satisfaction. That was definitely what was happening here. Adam scoffed.
Seriously? Why would I... Veggie, are you hearing this?
He looked back at the exorcist for support, who was staring off in some other direction.
Hmm?
She inclined her head.
Sorry, I wasn't listening.
Damn it, Vagisaurus, if your ass didn't look so goddamn fine in that skirt!
He stuck his tongue out at her, then turned back to Charlie.
Look, bitch, you're the one here trying to convince me to stop committing genocide, or whatever, which, by the way, total pussy shit.
He picked up another rib and started twirling it as he talked.
Believe me, don't believe me, it doesn't change anything,
he said, turning back to his meal. Charlie wrinkled her nose.
Fuck, why does he have to have a point?
She screamed internally, then began sorting through her notes.
There has to be something here I can use.
She could hear him being as disgusting as possible in the background. He smacked his lips, chewed with his mouth open, gulped, belched, and just generally made a pig of himself. And yet she found it strangely easy to ignore. Somehow the noises had gone from the most off-putting, vile things she'd ever heard someone fully clothed produce to some kind of rhythmic background theme she could easily put out of her mind.
Look, maybe...
She paused, smile strained and face pinched in confusion as she tried gauging Adam's level of patience.
If we just...
Instead, he simply looked at his barbecue sauce-covered hands, then around for a minute. Seeing no napkins, he instead grabbed Vaggie, trapping her waist in the crook of his arm.
Hey, sir, what the fuck?
She struggled in his grasp, but it was no use. No matter how much she kicked and screamed, he just continued wiping his hands up and down the front of her shirt, skirt, and the legs of her pants.
Sir, cut it out! This is sexual harassment!
Oh, do you have a complaint for HR? Don't worry, I'll let me know.
He grinned, finally releasing her and dusting off his hands, then poofing a green hat onto his head.
Oh, hey, Vaggie! This is HR speaking. Sexual harassment from the Taxiarch, huh? That's no good. Don't worry, I'll take care of it, if you'll do a little something-something for me, if you know what I mean.
Vaggie let out an exasperated sigh, throwing her arms up and shaking her fists at the sky. Adam wagged his eyebrows, biting his lip, humping the air and making a motion like he was pushing someone's head into his crotch.
Suck my dick!
Charlie's eyes twitched at their antics. Was it too much to ask to take this seriously? Just a little? Charlie was panicking now, knowing she was running out of time.
Could there be a spell, or...
When she'd looked down, Adam had been in his seat, laughing at Vaggie's attempts to rid herself of the sauce. When she looked back up, he was in front of her, a hand reaching towards her.
Oh ho ho, what's this?
Adam snatched the papers from her hands.
Looks official,
he mocked. Charlie's face paled, and she immediately scrambled for them.
Hey, give those back!
Adam leaned back, keeping the papers just out of reach of her hands as she reached, perhaps a bit too eagerly.
Come on, jump! Jump!
The princess's ears burned in embarrassment as she did exactly as he suggested. Without even thinking, she was pressed up against him as she practically climbed him to get at her papers.
You fucking asshole! Give me back my... Wow, he's surprisingly muscular under this robe.
For the third time today, Charlie flushed red, darting back and looking away. She folded her arms and turned up her nose, trying very hard to look dignified as she fought the urge to go crawl under a rock and die.
All right, let's see what we got here.
He held up the papers as if reading from a scroll. She could tell he was gearing up to say something particularly foul when he suddenly froze. Mouth agape, his eyes fixed on the title card as if he couldn't quite believe his eyes. His grip suddenly as reverent and delicate as if he were holding some holy scripture of eons past, detailing the unknowable truths of reality.
Are these...
He said slowly in a tone of utter disbelief, his voice soft and careful, like he was afraid if he spoke too loudly, he would somehow make it untrue.
Drawn in crayon?
She expected him to immediately launch into some depraved mockery after that. But he said nothing, completely silent as he waited for her to answer with bated breath. 4 times has to be a record, Charlie thought as her face turned tomato red.
Yet,
the word wasn't even out of her mouth before Adam started laughing. And not, as it had been before, the obnoxious, mocking sort. No, it started with a shaking, squealing whine, then launched into raucous guffaws the likes of which she'd never heard before in her life. He was doubled over, desperately sucking in deep, chest-bursting breaths before letting them out in great bellows that seemed to shake the room.
Holy shit, Vaggie! She did! She did! She drew it in fucking crayon!
He held the paper out to her as if he thought she didn't believe him, and it was his dying wish to convince her. Stunned into silence, the exorcist accepted the paper gingerly, eyeing it with no small amount of trepidation. The first man limped back to his seat like the ancient old man he was, collapsing into it with tears in his eyes. His hand lashed out, pounding at the table like he was trying to break it. Every intake of breath was an ugly, ragged, almost screaming thing.
Help me, Vaggie!
He demanded.
I can't fucking breathe!
As the exorcist approached him, face full of confusion and concern, Charlie looked away, trying to shrink into herself. He'd been laughing at her the whole time, but this time felt different. He wasn't just mocking her. He actually found her drawings so farcical, it had him in tears. As much as her, admittedly crude, drawings were an expression of her passion and sincerity, Adam's laughter was an expression of his own. She waited, but seconds turned into minutes, and minutes quickly turned into time she didn't have. A good 10 minutes later, he seemed to start settling down, but the moment she opened her mouth, his raucous laughter erupted again. What felt like hours later, Vaggie was standing at his side with a worried hand on his back. Adam was clutching his chest as he giggled and wheezed.
"Sir," she said insistently, "if you don't stop laughing, you're going to pass out again."
But Vaggie!
He waved around Charlie's drawing.
She signed her name in pink fucking glitter. Holy shit, I can't.
The princess gave the paper a furtive glance.
Yeah, maybe the glitter was too much after all.
Oh, man.
He wheezed.
They say women aren't funny, but that can't be true. Because you're such a fucking joke.
Okay, that one kind of stung. Charlie sighed. She took out her cell phone and checked the time, only to harden her jaw and stand in a huff. She only had 10 minutes left anyway, and it was clear Adam wasn't stopping anytime soon.
"I'll just go," she sighed. Suddenly cold, she hugged herself as she turned away. "Goodbye, Adam."
"Aw, don't be like that," he called out after her. "I'll pin it on my fridge, I promise!"
The princess left in silence. The promenade leading away from the embassy was, as all things in heaven, perfect. They wandered along winding marble pathways, leisurely meandering in such a way that one was always where they wanted to be, exactly when they wanted to be there. A carefully manicured lawn, emerald green and lush, framed by shining silver streets, surrounded them. Dotted along were trees perfectly optimized for one to lounge in the shade and shrubbery that was never in the way. Vaggie didn't particularly like the place, though. Not that it was unpleasant, but rather that nature was never something that offered her much comfort, being heaven-born and all. She much preferred the familiar, enclosed halls of her barracks. Then again, she was designed to. Adam sucked on the straw of his smoothie with a vacant grin and glazed over eyes. Every once in a while, a soft giggle would escape him, causing him to wince in pain. Clutched in his other hand was a thin stack of papers. The exorcist's eyes glanced down at Charlie's crayon drawings. The princess had been in such a hurry to leave that she'd forgotten them. And though Vaggie didn't know much about art, she knew one thing. That girl was a terrible artist. All the same, she'd clearly spent a lot of time on them. It took a lot of effort to find that many different colors to begin with, let alone use them all.
So?
Vachi began, fixing her helmet to a loop on her belt.
Are you actually going to put those on your fridge?
She lurched as bright yellow smoothie hosed out of his nostrils, a high-pitched whine escaping him. He clutched his stomach, coughing and sneezing globs of banana yellow.
Holy fuck, Vaggie, you fucking cunt! I fucking knew you wanted to fucking kill me, you cruel bitch!
Vaggie fought a smile as she patted him on the back.
There, there, sir.
She comforted in monotone fashion.
Let it all out.
Adam continued coughing up smoothie for a good 5 minutes before finding relief.
The Dickmaster lives!
He proclaimed, standing up straight and arms waving overhead before giving her the side eye.
Why would you think I'd pin this shit to my fridge?
Because you spent like 2 hours running a comedy routine of trying to pick them up, then humorously falling on the floor, laughing every time you got a look, making you drop them so you had to start all over again. Adam was so giddy he giggled almost on instinct, sending a stabbing pain through his chest.
Holy shit, I don't think I've laughed that hard in centuries. This is the first time I've left a C-U-N-T feeling this good. Wait.
He brought a hand up to his chin.
That doesn't sound right.
Sounds right to me, sir. Vaggie deadpanned. I still don't understand how you got them to let you name an official meeting a cunt.
Whatever do you mean, Corporal?
Adam asked innocently.
It's the Committee on Undesirable Neutralization Totals. It's the C-U-N-T, see? Not a cunt. That would just be unseemly.
Vaggie rolled her eyes.
So, if you aren't going to play Proud Papa with the Princess's macaroni art...
Adam snickered, then coughed.
Then what are you going to do with it?
He grinned.
Can you imagine people's faces when I tell them an adult woman showed up at a meeting with crayon drawings? I can be all like, yeah, the Princess of Hell gave me these. And they'll be all like, oh, how old was she? And I can say, 225. And we can all take turns humiliating her behind her back. It'll be fun.
Vaggie thought back to the princess, the image of her blinding bright smile fixed in her mind. Despite what she'd told the girl, Vaggie absolutely did find her a little... okay, really fucking pretty. Between her chaotic, adorkable energy when she was trying to be sincere, her impassioned defense of the sinner's right to existence, even if she didn't agree, and... holy fuck, Adam was right. She was so hot when she was angry. More than that, though, Vaggie just couldn't imagine the girl as some kind of manipulator. She was too emotional, so obviously wearing her heart on her sleeve that Vaggie was almost afraid she might bruise it. Did the princess really deserve that kind of... A well-placed groan from Adam interrupted her thoughts.
Bitch, you had better not be thinking about nagging me.
Vaggie flinched.
I wasn't going to say anything.
The first man pouted as he was wont to do, crossing his arm.
So you were thinking about it.
The exorcist growled as she face-palmed, then took a slow breath.
What the fuck do you want from me? Yes, I was thinking about nagging you. Are you happy?
The man nodded sagely.
Not until you spill.
She paused, eyes flickering away as she mulled over the idea of sharing. Adam probably... no, he definitely wouldn't like what she had to say this time. Best just to let the subject lie.
I don't want to talk about it.
Bullshit!
He claimed, one hand on his hip as he pointed a finger at her accusingly.
If you don't tell me now, then you're just going to spend the next year being all moody and passive-aggressive about it.
Vaggie clenched her jaw. She fucking hated it when he was right.
Fine,
she acquiesced. Then, before she thought better of it, admitted to her thought crime.
I think the princess might be...
sincere.
There was no sarcastic comeback, no half-serious jeering, no childish raspberry blowing or line-crossing mockery. There wasn't even a deadpan denial. Adam was silent, for the first time since she'd met him. That did not bode well.
Look, sir, I know...
No, Vaggie, I don't think you do,
he told her, his voice horribly serious. No longer holding that whining edge, just low and husky.
I'll give you a pass, because you never met them, and I don't talk about it. Ever. But no, Vaggie, you don't know, or you wouldn't even think that.
Vaggie looked away guiltily, her hand rubbing her arm. It was a bad idea, she knew, to press the issue, but something just... I'm not suggesting that it's not a trick, she defended. Because it definitely is. I just think the princess herself is sincere. I think they might be manipulating her, too. It's at least a possibility to consider, right? Adam stopped walking, standing uncharacteristically rigid as he stared directly forward.
It's...
He never got the chance to finish his thought. There was simply a flash of azure-white light, and the evening sun-bathed promenade which they had been walking was replaced by a massive, futuristic office. Vaggie looked around dumbly for a moment before realizing where she was. Immediately, she clicked her heels together, holding a salute suitable for the highest of the seraphim.
"Your Highness," she called.
"Good evening, Corporal. At ease."
The matronly voice of Seraphiel responded. The massive angel did not so much as lift a finger to acknowledge her otherwise, eyes fixed on a solid glass touchscreen in her hands.
"Fuck, Sarah!"
Adam offered by way of greeting, stomping like a child.
"You know I hate it when you do that! At least give me a fucking warning!"
Vaggie's jaw clenched at the blatant disrespect. She knew the highest didn't care, and never had, at least not in private, but it still grated on her. Of all the beings in creation, perhaps only Emily deserved Adam's attitude less than the highest.
"Hmm?"
Sarah asked, and though her eyes drifted from her tablet, they still held a dazed quality. She blinked them into alertness, then focused them on Adam, who seemed to sag a bit under their weight.
"Of course, Adam. Apologies, but I don't have the time to entertain you right now. Lucifer just called. Used my line directly. Apparently, his daughter intercepted a communication from the diplomatic department rescheduling last year's meeting. Instead of telling her father, she claimed to be taking over for Hell's foreign relations for the foreseeable future, and gave them her number."
Seraphiel's eyes returned to the tablet.
"The angel at fault was dealt with, of course. But now we have an incident on our hands. First, I'd like to confirm that Charlotte Morningstar was at these meetings."
Instead of answering her clearly, Adam grumbled something unkind.
"Adam,"
Sarah admonished, fingers gliding over the glass.
"Now is not the time to be difficult."
The first man looked away for a moment, before letting out a sigh.
"Yeah, she was there."
"For both meetings?"
Adam didn't show it to Sarah, but from Vaggie's point of view, she could see him snarl.
"Yeah, Sarah, both times."
Sarah's eyes found a screen above her, Enochian script outlining indecipherable three-dimensional graphs.
"And what's your assessment?"
Vaggie very nearly punched Adam when he scoffed. Would it kill him to show Sarah a little respect for once?
"It's some kind of trick, obviously. You know what they're like. Always scheming, always pushing their luck, never satisfied. Charlie's some kind of ploy. Has to be. She's playing at being a bleeding heart. It was so fucking stupid. She had this whole dumb fucking spiel about..."
"I see."
Seraphiel cut him off, no doubt too busy to listen to one of his rants.
"I expect a full report on my desk by the end of next week."
Adam's hands curled into shaking fists. For a moment, Vaggie almost believed he'd throw a punch. Then he released it, along with a sigh.
"Yes, Sarah."
There will be concessions, of course, the Highest mused, from both sides. Something trivial from heaven, but symbolic. I'm sure you'll come up with something.
The first man didn't even look at her, eyes fixed on some faraway point.
Yes, Sarah.
As for hell, it was their blunder, and a deception at that. We should make an example. Increase the culling by, let's say, 0.5%. Yes, that should do well as reprisal. If mortality projections remain on target, that should be an extra 305,000. Can the exorcists handle that on short notice?
Veggie froze. Another 305,000? They'd need another 3 battalions at least, and good ones too. Not to mention...
Yes, Sarah.
Adam gave the exorcist a look, like he was daring her to say something.
Fucking dick.
Good. Looks like you have this under control, then,
the Highest intoned, using a stylus to scribble something down on her tablet.
Have a good rest of your evening, Adam.
She didn't wait for a response, merely waving her hand dismissively at them. There was another flash of azure white, and they were... not back on the promenade, but rather in front of Adam's house. They stood there in silence for a few minutes, Vaggie's mind spinning. The only sounds the croaking of frogs and crashing of waves on the rocky bluff. Between the promenade and the first man's house, Vaggie would always take the promenade. Adam's place was tacky and horribly ugly, creepy even. None of the trees were shaped right, gnarled and scarred without full canopies. Some were missing limbs. What kind of tree had missing limbs? A few weren't even trees at all, just rotten stumps. The sky here was always cloudy, threatening rain, and the ocean absolutely reeked. The house itself was, of course, as opulent and garish as its sole occupant, having no rhyme nor reason except to impose and impress. It seethed a need for attention. She shifted a bit, grimacing as she noticed her feet sinking down into the mud. Fuck, Sarah had teleported her to the marshy shores of that stagnant pond again. It was all so fucking disgusting. But now was not the time for Vaggie to deride Adam's taste in landscaping, or reflect upon what the architecture of his home said about his true nature. Now was the time for her to figure out whether or not he would have her decommissioned for insubordination. Vaggie looked up to Adam, whose hard gaze was set upon the still waters in front of them.
Sir, about what I said...
What the fuck are you still doing here?
He spat, waving his hands at her in a shooing motion.
Shoo! Get! Go tell Luke the good news.
Vaggie paused.
Yes, sir. Though, before I go, would it kill you to show our boss a little more respect?
Adam chuckled wryly.
Why? It's not like she cares.
He paused.
Fucking bitch, calling me up there just to saddle me with more work? I expect to see a report on my desk by the end of the week!
He actually had the nerve to spit.
Pah!
Vaggie's gaze hardened.
You wouldn't have to write one if you had just included all of this in your last report.
Ha!
Adam laughed.
That's a good one.
He turned around, his eyes suddenly drawn to the papers in his hands, the ones Charlie had given him.
Go inform Lute, and fucking tell her to get a Seraphim, not fucking Sarah, to schedule a little new Genesis time. In fact, tell her to get as many as she can. Book me the fuck up till March at least. If we want an extra 0.5, we'll need 10,000 newbies at least. Fuck, if only I could just copy you instead of teaching you all everything from the ground up.
There was something she wanted to say to him, she knew. She just didn't know what. She reached out, trying to think of the words.
What the fuck are you waiting for, Lady Killer?
He asked, his voice commanding but lacking a certain edge.
A kiss goodbye?
Vaggie frowned.
Fine, be that way.
She rose into the air, giving him a last, long look. He was still standing there, at the threshold to his house, eyes glued to those papers, and he remained that way until she had long disappeared behind the clouds.
Far behind her, she could faintly hear Adam erupt once more into mad cackling.
Way to stick it to the man, Blondie!
A time before time. Eden. Adam wobbled as he took a hesitant step forward. The soft grass still felt strange, brushing against his feet. It was just a bit too slick for his liking. He felt someone push him from behind, and suddenly he was falling.
Oh, look, the first man writhing on the ground like a worm! Again!
Mocked an increasingly familiar, perpetually excited tone. The angel floated around him, bent at the waist with his arms held behind his back. His perfect, curved features rose into a cheery smile, rosy cheeks making him look jubilant even now as his brilliant ruby eyes burned with satisfaction. His blonde hair melted into the very light around him, while wrapped around his head was a crown of brilliant flames.
How many times will you fall, How many times will you fail to do so much as walk straight? I'm sorry,
Adam said, trying his best to steel his voice and shove away the fear in his chest.
I'll do better,
he promised, though he couldn't imagine how he was supposed to stand, let alone walk as long as Lucifer kept knocking him down. He pushed himself up on shaking limbs, holding himself there and taking a deep breath before attempting to stand. Just as he began moving his legs under him, a foot slammed into his side with such force he was launched into the air. He had only moments to understand the screaming pain in his side and the world spinning around him before he hit the ground at velocity. He was sent rolling, very nearly skipping off the earth like a stone over water. He cried out as he tumbled, and dirt forced its way in his mouth. Adam couldn't move, still as stone as he struggled to comprehend the situation. He was in more than just pain. Even the slightest movement was torturous, every shallow breath sending lances of agony through him. He had barely grown familiar with his own form, and yet even he knew his limbs weren't supposed to bend or twist the way they did, and that he should be able to see out of both eyes.
Get up, first man!
Lucifer's haughty tone commanded. The angel sneered, arms crossed as he hovered there above him, wings of ivory light and vermilion fire spread wide. On every fiery feather of those wings was a clotted crimson eye, with a dot of brilliant fire in the center.
Or are you gonna cry again?
Lurid blue consumed his mind. Stop crying. Adam seized, his body screaming in agony. The idea of unmaking, of non-existence as clear and distinct in his mind as the moment he had been forced to understand it. It filled his body with a desperate surge of energy. He felt like he was being torn apart, flesh pulled from splintering bone. Was this what destruction was like? Had the angels finally decided him a failure and chosen to start again? He could not stop. The command froze him in the middle of his writhing. One arm half-stretched into the sky, even as it bent unnaturally below the elbow, the other desperately grasping for some unknown hold that might let him pull himself up. There was an exasperated, almost fawn sigh, drawing his eyes to that terrifyingly large angel from before. Seraphiel.
Lucifer? She exhaled his name slowly. What are you doing?
The other angel folded his arms.
What you told me to,
he answered in a curt manner belying his aggrievement.
I told you to prepare him while we created the other human. She paused. Does he look prepared?
The angel's eyes met his own, then trailed over his broken form. Adam's muscles burned, still locked in the process of trying to move. He had been frozen during a moment of perfect agony, right in the middle of tearing himself apart.
No.
The angel answered sullenly.
But how could he be? He's still incomplete.
No, he isn't, Seraphiel insisted. Lucifer, the council's decision is final. Your ideas were excluded from the design, and they will not be instated.
But...
No buts,
she admonished fondly. There was a pregnant pause.
Is it really not enough for you to be the bearer of heaven's light?
to herald the rise of dawn and mourn the setting of the sun, to place the very stars in the sky, to govern the brilliance of all creation, 1,000,000,001 worlds to your name and your signature on nearly every act of creation. Is all this not enough for you? Lucifer's jaw flexed, his eyes hardening.
This is different, Sarah. They are different. Even as flawed as they are still, without doubt, heaven's greatest creation. And none of you can see it. All you see are animals that know how to follow orders, but they could be so much more. If you would all just let me...
For the last time, Lucifer, this isn't up for debate. Sarah's tone was cold, all traces of fondness gone. Accept it and move on. Brokering no more discussion, Seraphiel floated down closer to Adam. Burning blue eyes that filled him with dread gazed imperiously from atop high cheekbones, dusted with smaller, lighter blue eyes. There was something bitter in her placid frown as she outstretched a hand, palm facing down. What a mess. There was a blinding flash of azure-white light, a moment of horror overtaking him as it consumed him whole. Moments later, he was left confounded by the simple sight of his arm as it stretched high towards the sky. Now, unbent, he felt no pain. No piercing jolts blazing up mangled limbs that shattered his mind. No pulsing waves of twisting agony. It was as if it had never happened. If it weren't for the dream-like numbness that remained, he could have believed he'd imagined the whole thing.
"Can you still not stand properly?" Seraphiel asked.
Adam's heart lurched into a fresh panic, and he was scrambling to his feet. He stood rigid, his entire body taut at the thought of collapsing again now.
I can...
she offered impassively.
"You're crying again."
Lucifer peeked out from behind her, a disturbing eagerness in his grin. Adam felt cold, numb as he quickly wiped at his eyes.
I'm not sure what... I didn't...
"You will learn, I think," Seraphiel acknowledged.
"After further consideration, it was agreed that your weakness during your creation must have been due to the transfer of knowledge, as opposed to a physical flaw. We did not properly adjust for your enhanced learning ability and contextual understanding, instead focusing too much on accuracy." He didn't understand a thing she'd said. He knew the words, but not really what they meant when put together like that. Whatever idea she was trying to communicate was beyond him for the most part. But he did recognize that it had placated her, for now.
"Okay."
The memory of a whisper of a ghost of a smirk passed over her face.
"Why were you screaming so loudly?"
Adam gulped.
Was I not supposed to?"
Seraphiel quirked her head.
"Answer the question."
It just sort of happened,"
he obliged, doing his best to steady his voice.
"There was a lot of pain."
Mangled limbs that only twitched when they should have lashed out, the weight of the world pressing down on his chest as he struggled to breathe.
"Adam?"
He blinked, fixing his eyes on hers even as the sight of those rings of blue made his throat tighten.
"What?"
"You were saying?"
Seraphiel urged. Adam blinked again, trying to clear the unbidden images from his mind.
Yeah, I tried to get up, but I couldn't, and I didn't even really realize that I was screaming."
"You tried to stand on broken legs?"
She asked, a hint of surprise in her tone. She was silent for a few moments before inclining her head and offering him the slightest of smiles.
"Yes, I see you have taken Heaven's command to tough up seriously. A fine display of masculinity."
He paused.
Oh, so it was... I did okay?"
he muttered, his heart fluttering in an unfamiliar variation of the nervousness he'd experienced before. For a terrible minute, Seraphiel was silent. Adam's heart sank further every moment she remained quiet.
"Yes, I suppose okay is a fair description,"
she mused, the words causing something in him to twist.
"You pushed through hardship to complete the task Heaven gave you, but still cried and screamed.
an improvement, but you must be stronger. His cheeks burned, something in his stomach tightened, and he felt strangely conflicted.
Yes, of course.
Apparently satisfied, Seraphia lifted into the air. I am returning to the council. Correct your deficiencies while I am gone. Lucifer, you will be attending as well. Grinning smugly, the smaller angel darted to her side.
Oh, but Sarah, I was having so much fun minding the man. Oh, but if they could only mind themselves, that would be so much...
Lucifer, she warned. The angel grumbled petulantly.
Fine.
Adam looked down as he thought to move again. There he saw something strange, something red and white. He realized that, whatever it was, he was standing on it. The sensation was... wet. Slimy. Slick. He didn't like it. So he moved his foot.
What is...
The first man suddenly felt sick. His hand shot to his face, and he nervously felt the eye that had darkened before. It stung at his touch, causing his eyelids to blink profusely.
Is that...
He pointed down to the thing on the ground.
Is that my eye?
Seraphiel turned back to him, and her eyes flicked down. It was. There was a rock. Now it's gone. Ice blue flames engulfed it as she turned away again. Sometimes it is easier to just make a new one. And then they were gone. Adam's gaze was glued to the spot on the grass where the eye had once been. The memory of that white azure light engulfing him returned, but instead it was ice blue fire. Suddenly he couldn't breathe, and he felt his eyes begin to
Stop crying.
I'm not crying, he reminded himself, letting out a shuddering breath. I'm the first man.
Adam closed his eyes, trying to erase the images from his mind. Slowly, methodically, he raised one foot, moving it carefully forwards until his heel met the ground. The flicker of a smile graced his face, just as he lost his balance, ever so slightly. He did not fall, but the threat was there, brushed up against his neck, burning in his mind, burning around him, through him.
I'm not crying. I'm the first man.
Dozens of eyes, red as blood that burned with glee, watched him from the light.
I'm not crying. I'm the first man, he repeated, voice shaking.
He focused his mind on the task at hand, pushing everything out.
I'm not crying. I'm the first man.